This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review. With us today as our guest is Helen Osmond, who is president of CYGNUS, which is the World Catholic Association for Communication. We caught up with Helen while we were in Atlanta for the Catholic Media Conference for 2024. Helen also spent time as a diocesan newspaper editor. We've known each other for years. She served on the board and as president of the Catholic Media Association, and she was secretary for communication for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Thanks so much for being here today, Helen.
Well, thanks for having me, Chris. It's a real pleasure.
So what is the status of world communications in the Catholic Church? Are things in a healthy place?
Well, that's a good question, Chris. And I guess I would answer saying we would be in a healthy place in understanding that we are always trying to follow the Spirit where God is leading us. Having said that, I think God is leading us maybe like the ancient Israelites through the desert.
For 40 years?
For 40 years, I don't know. But it's certainly we have challenges in our own time here for the church and specifically for church communications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As the president of CYGNUS World, what is your responsibility and how much traveling are you doing as part of that?
I do a fair amount of traveling. What my responsibility is our board is composed of members of our regions. We have seven regions around the world. CYGNUS, which our official title is, as you said, the World Catholic Association for Communication, is the only organization of Catholic communication professionals which has statutes canonically. So in other words, we are a recognized official entity of the church, and so we have a close alliance with the work of the Holy See. So part of my work is I am also a consultant to the Dicastery for Communication, and in that I try to represent our members and our concerns and our desires to serve the church in communication. And I also serve globally in trying to help connect all of us internationally. Of course, I don't do this on my own, but I really see that as trying to help us understand that communication has as its root the same as community and communion, that communication works best when we're working together.
Yeah, we got to talk to each other to do that.
We got to communicate, yeah.
And walk with each other and do all of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
It strikes me, though, that one of the interesting things in the Catholic Media Association, almost all of the members are either Catholic publications of some kind, newspapers, magazines, websites, Catholic communication departments and dioceses, or Catholic people who are working for that. CYGNUS is not the same way, is it? It's really more independent people, right?
It is. It's one of the things that I really enjoy about this role, which, by the way, is a volunteer position. So right. Just to be clear on that, is that I get to see the church in so many different ways. So, for instance, in many parts of Asia, members of CYGNUS work in what we would call the secular world. They work for Korean Broadcasting System, which is like is the government-run television network there. In fact, I think the president of that, which is a government-sponsored entity and run by a governmental place board, is a CYGNUS member. You know,
So it's a Catholic who is in media, not someone working in Catholic media.
Yeah. Although we also do have our fair representation of that. The other thing is, in some parts of the world, we have organizations which in our country would be considered ecumenical. For instance, in Lebanon, we have a satellite network, which is really Christian and not just Catholic, or, you know, in our, the Latin church. Again, you know, the church is universal. And so they provide television broadcasting educational programs for children, because so many children are displaced in the Mideast, can't go to school physically.
Right.
So they're providing education to children through their platforms, through their television and broadcast video platforms. Mm-hmm. And it is not just Catholic, it is Christian. But they're a member of Cygnus, mm-hmm. and an active member.
That's interesting. How large is the organization? How many members are there?
We have, I'm not good at numbers, as you know. We are represented in 90 countries. So, yeah.
That's pretty wide. Pretty global.
Yeah.
Global. So you talked a little bit earlier about this connection with the Holy See. What do you hear from them about the needs of the church to communicate that you're able to then talk to Cygnus members about and say, this isn't a mandate from the Vatican, but this is what the Vatican hopes for, mm-hmm. when we talk about communication.
Yeah. They are very interested in supporting our efforts. And I will say, we work actually with two dicasteries. One is the Dicastery for Communication. You know, and we're blessed this week here in Atlanta. We have the prefect, Dr. Paolo Ruffini, is here, and two of his staff are with him. Cygnus has a liaison with the Dicastery for Communication who sits on our board ex officio, mm-hmm. Dr. Natasha Govikar. Mm-hmm. We also, our statutes are supervised by the Dicastery for the Laity.
Interesting.
And yeah, so I put all that in a framework to say this is how the Vatican makes concrete the teachings of the church, because the work of laity is the work of the laity, professionals. And we've had a big conversation in Cygnus, because some of our members are clergy.
Right.
In some parts of the world, the entire communication apparatus of the church is all priests, mm-hmm. an occasional nun, but all priests. And so we had this conversation with the Dicastery for Communication about what does it mean to be a lay organization and to have priests as members. And we've really determined that what we're focusing on is our profession or our vocation as communicators. And so to try to answer your question maybe in a very more precise way, I would say the Vatican's vision for us is that we exercise our responsibility as professional communicators, as laity in the church, doing what the church needs to communicate the message of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Our popes over the last several decades have really emphasized the use of any and all means of communication. As you know, far back as 1987, when Pope John Paul visited Los Angeles and spoke to the media people there, appropriately enough, in, you know, right near Hollywood and all of that, he said it would be a sin before God if we did not use all of the means of communication that were available to us. That has exploded since 1987, as you know very well. And we see popes these days really using everything they can to communicate to people. How does that help the church spread its message?
Well, I think it's that answering that mandate, the great mandate that Christ gave us, go to the ends of the earth. You know, I think, and we use all methods we have possible. I think digital communications especially allows us to enter places that maybe we would not have been able to in the past. And I think that's why the Holy Father's been so precise on saying we ignore this at our peril.
Right. Even several years ago at a U.S. you know, bishops conference meeting, one of the bishops said, this was in the early days of social media, Twitter, Facebook, and he said, we have to be there. He said, I don't have a clue what I'm doing there. He said, but we have to be there because that's where the conversations are happening, and we need to be present. I think it's even more so now. A few years ago at our Catholic Media Conference, one of the bishops who was talking said, you know, we need to be on all of these platforms, and he named several. He goes, and whatever was created this morning that we haven't heard about.
Right.
So it's hard sometimes for the church to keep up with this. How do lay people working in the church, working with the church, for those who are not, who are kind of working for secular media, how can they help advance the cause of communication with that expertise mm-hmm. in all of these places?
Well, I think on a visionary level, you know, we understand how powerful these communication channels are. And we have an ethical responsibility in how we use them. You know, the Catholic Media Association has for a long time had its standards of conduct, our ethics, if you will.
Right.
Similar to what secular journalists have. And there are others in the realm of communication. You know, fundraisers have perhaps not the same level of standards as what we do, but they have some standards of accountability in the marketing that they do. And I know that's a communication too.
Sure.
So I think that's one very important thing to say when you think of a journalist or when you think of a Catholic journalist, this is what we want you to think of. Somebody who's responsible, who understands the weight of their career, of their vocation, and intends to live that in a way that benefits the common good.
And, of course, is always pointing to the truth, both lowercase
yes.
t and uppercase t.
Yes.
The truth of the
yes.
gospel, the
yes.
truth of Jesus.
There are facts and there's truth. And both should be used.
Exactly.
Both should be presented. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we have been talking today with Helen Osmond, who is president of CIGNAS, the World Catholic Association for Communication. We caught up at the Catholic Media Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks so much for being with us, Helen.
My pleasure. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio. Up next, after the break, we'll talk to another communicator on the world stage, Cindy Wooden, Bureau Chief of Catholic News Service's Rome Bureau.
Have a burning question about the Catholic Church? Curious about faith, traditions, current issues, or ways of deepening your spiritual life? Now's your chance to ask a bishop. Call in to Catholic Review Radio and leave a recording of yourself asking a question for our special guest, Baltimore Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker. Whether it's about the sacraments, church teaching, or everyday faith, no question is too big or too small. Your question may be featured on an upcoming episode of Catholic Review Radio with Bishop Parker. Dial 443-263-0230 now to ask your question. Don't miss out. Your voice matters. Again, that's 443-263-0230. And be on the lookout for our special Ask a Bishop episode coming soon.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. Our guest this segment is Cindy Wooden, who is Bureau Chief of the Rome Bureau for Catholic News Service, which covers the Vatican and parts of Europe and things like that. But you've done a lot of work with Catholic News Service over the years. Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Thank you very much, Chris.
So you have been at CNS in Rome for 30 years now. You've seen three popes through that time. What are the challenges of covering the Pope these days?
Oh, I think it's kind of the challenge that journalists always face, access, getting full information, being able to verify things, and knowing how to explain clearly and concisely what the Pope or the Vatican officials are talking about and teaching, and what kind of impact that has on the lives of Catholics around the world.
Is that a challenge, especially because sometimes Pope Francis will go off text in his homilies, or he'll say something and later they'll say, well, what the Pope really meant was such and such. Is that a challenge, especially now?
It is. One of the beautiful things about Pope Francis is his spontaneity. And I think that's one of the things he'll be remembered for, especially his spontaneous gestures, which the photographs and the videos speak louder than and clearer than any of his words can. But yeah, if his off-the-cuff kind of ad-libs may not be precise, he's speaking Italian, which is not his native language. And sometimes he's using words that, you know, are no longer used in current Italian, or have kind of shades that he doesn't realize. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's, you know, it's always a good test of a good journalist to find out what the Pope said and try to explain it, and then wait until the Vatican provides a further explanation.
Yeah. And of course, you're also working with a translation, because you're translating from Italian to English for our readers. And so there are things that can get lost in translation as well, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens with any language. I mean, you know, like an Italian, if an Italian gives up, they throw in the sponge.
Okay.
Well, we would never translate the phrase. I mean, that's what each word in that phrase means. But if I said throw in the sponge instead of throw in the towel, you wouldn't know what I meant.
Right.
You know,
right.
So.
So there are idioms and nuances.
Exactly.
One of the important things coming up this fall is the session on the World Synod on Synodality, where the church is kind of learning to be more able to work with each other, communicate, participate, be working together. People around the world are watching this and thinking that as soon as the synod's over, we'll know what the synod decisions are. That's not the case, is it?
The thing is that the synod is not and never has been a decision-making body. The synod is a consultative body. It helps the Holy Father discern where the Holy Spirit is trying to lead the church. So they may make some very strong recommendations, but it's up to the Pope to accept them or not. And also kind of some of the more hot button issues that were raised during the synod process, which began in 2021, things like the role of women in the church, or seminary training, relations between bishops and the religious that work in their diocese. The Pope has assigned all of those topics to working groups to be studied profoundly. He wants the Synod Assembly in October to focus on promoting synodality, which is promoting a church where every baptized person knows they are responsible for the mission of the church and recognizes that every other baptized person shares in that responsibility. And so learning to be a church where each person, according to his or her state in life and ministry in the church, works together to bring Christ to the world. It's not so much about the internal operation of the church, but how we can listen to one another and work together to bring Christ to the world.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes these days, especially in the U.S., we're not really good at listening to each other. We're not very good at listening. It's like, oh, you have that opinion, I have this opinion, and we're never, ever going to agree with each other. And we don't want to talk about it. So how do you get people in the church to listen to each other with that goal of bringing Christ to the rest of the world?
Well, one of the things that they're doing at the Synod Assembly is, I mean, it's so hard to explain as a journalist and report on as a journalist, because I'm looking for the news. I'm
right.
Looking for the headlines, you know. But what they're doing in the Synod Assemblies is they have 10 people and a facilitator at every table. And people learn to listen, because the rule is each person at the table has 4 minutes to respond to a question that the group is working on. And they go around the table and no one comments or challenges or responds directly to the person who's sharing. No one is interrupted. They go all the way around the table. Everybody has the same amount of time, whether it's, you know, the student from Pennsylvania who's a synod delegate or the cardinal. They get 4 minutes to speak. And then there's 3 minutes for silent prayer. Then you go around and everyone says, in kind of an affirmative way, something that someone else said that resonates with them. Then they stop for prayer again. Then they start a discussion. So basically, you know, there with 10 people, there's 40 minutes of simply listening with your mouth shut.
That's a great thing. And I guess there's that old saying that there's a reason why we have two ears and one mouth.
So yeah, exactly.
We're going from that. When you look at the 30 years that you've been covering the Vatican, things have changed over time. What's been some of the highlights for you? Just a couple of really great things.
I believe that the Holy Spirit is active in the world and in the church, and particularly in the conclave. I think God has given us a pope appropriate for the time. So St. John Paul II, Pope Benedict, and now Pope Francis. I believe each one of them has contributed something unique to the church that the church needed at that time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for me, it's been an honor and a joy to cover up close 3 different popes. Papal trips are always kind of amazing and interesting, and, you know, going around the world, seeing how different Catholics worship and express their faith, live their faith, the challenges they face in living their faith. Last September, we went to Mongolia, which has a teeny tiny Catholic community, like 1,000 Catholics. Evangelization there began in the, like, 1999 with the fall of communism. I mean, it's
very young church, and very small church.
Yeah.
And yet the Pope chose to go there.
Exactly. And they were thrilled and rolled out the red carpet for the Pope and the people who were traveling with him. So that was kind of amazing. Before that, we went to South Sudan and Congo and met with people who are trying to live their faith in the midst of war. And he went with the Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury and the moderator of the Presbyterian Church of Scotland, because during colonization, the Catholics, the Anglicans, and the Presbyterians divided up the territory.
Oh.
So they would, you know, the Catholics would mission this village, and the Anglicans would mission this village, and the Presbyterians this village. Well, it turns out that those villages, those divisions also coincided with some ethnic differences. And so when you have ethnic strife in those countries, it can be easily seen as religious strife because the people of that ethnic group belong.
Dividing lines are the same.
Yeah. So it was a really important ecumenical pilgrimage of prayer to tell all the people that war and violence is not the solution, and that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We have all been baptized in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to 2025 as the Jubilee year in Rome? Maybe. Yes,
yeah.
And no.
Yes. Yeah. No, Jubilees are always amazing opportunities because one of the characteristics of modern Jubilees is there are specific weekends, basically. They're usually 2 or 3 days that focus on different categories in the church. So early in 2025, for example, in January, around the Feast of St. Francis de Sales, there is the Jubilee for communicators. And Catholics who are in the communications field from all over the world will gather in Rome. And there will be kind of probably round table discussions or workshops thing, but also a meeting with the Holy Father, the celebration of Mass, going through the Holy Door together. It'll be a moment when the Catholic Church Universal focuses on the ministry of communications. There are special days set aside for grandparents, for young children, for youth, of course, for deacons, for priests, right, for the archbishops who are serve as nuncios,
wow,
around the world.
Everybody got it.
So, yeah, so it's a chance to focus on the different ministries and vocations and realities of life in the church. And that's pretty cool.
Good. Well, I'm hoping to get over there during the Jubilee year. And if I do, I will get a chance to spend some time with my friend and colleague, Cindy Wooden, who is the Rome Bureau Chief for Catholic News Service. We caught up with her while we were at the Catholic Media Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks so much for being with us, Cindy.
You're most welcome, Chris.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and you have been listening to Catholic Review Radio.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week, available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM, also WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area, and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.